It's Friday. Do you know where your IT guys are? We don't. It's Patch and Switch. And now, live from their brand new secret bunker. Are we live? Is this thing on? It's Patch and Switch. Stop it. Stop it.
I told you Seafoam would fix it.
Okay, wait. Can we rewind this whole conversation? All right. Hey, everybody, welcome. Welcome to another episode of the Patch and Switch Show.
Can you believe this?
Yeah. Okay, can we talk about the band?
What?
Did you see their setup in the other room? So I walked by their green room. They had bagels and lox.
Bagels and lox, a separate makeup room,
yes.
And a bar fridge.
For the band.
I know.
We've got cold coffee.
Yeah, I've got an empty coffee cup.
Oh, they brought you an empty.
To get this thing started.
This is an amazing studio.
It is.
We actually look like we're shot artistically.
Someone has upped the production value to a point now where I don't know if we'll be able to run the show ourselves.
I think it's Daddy Lawbucks.
Daddy Lawbucks.
Larry Lawbucks.
Larry Lawbucks.
Hey, back behind the controls, you can't see her, but maybe you can hear her. We've got the one, the only Nas.
I had a mini heart attack.
Are you all right?
I'm good.
Okay.
We could not have done the show without you, Nas. You
know, that was a hot mess in the beginning, not gonna lie.
You realize who you're working with, right? It's always a hot mess in the beginning.
Golnaz
is the best producer ever and director
but I
and
will
videographer.
Say, we should have tested the live stream last night. We were here in the room making sure everything was ready, and we just didn't test the live stream.
Am I just hearing you say we should have tested something?
Yeah, of course it's me saying this. We should have tested something. And, of course, they can't get this focus right in this camera either, but, you know, it's still we're trying, which is awesome. But
it's okay.
So, this literally is a soundstage room that they've set up as a podcast interview studio that I'm going to still continuously call the Patch and Switch Studio. I don't care what they call it. It's A, B, or C. It's still the Patch and Switch Studio.
So you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking we could get some Sharpie and change the sign that says it's Studio C and just put Patch and Switch.
There we go. That could work as well.
Yeah.
That could work as well.
So we've got people in the chat room.
They stuck around?
They did. we actually have people who actually listen to this broadcast. You know what's funny is everybody's yelling and screaming, white balance, we need more. We're working on the lights.
Yeah.
So we do actually have a full lighting system. The thing is that we decided that we were going to go live a week before the studio was ready.
Of course.
Because
it's called forcing the
it's a
the general availability of the studio.
There are people asking where the power panels. They're coming.
Yes.
We actually have a special request. We are going to get power panels in the Patch and Switch studio.
Yes. This is a little too crisp and clean, so we're going to add grit, I guess you would say, to the sets and the set dressings.
Right, yeah.
The other ones were real, and they actually did have a fire fire marshal's warning taped to the door last time. Apparently he came in during the construction and was not impressed with how close the table was.
It happens. Right. It happens.
But in here, because the room is it's hurting my ears almost.
It's that quiet?
It's that quiet. Like I can almost hear my blood. In my body. That's how quiet this room is. Like, and just right outside this door, which you can't see over here, there is actually like a full rack of like video processing units and like server.
You're not allowed to touch those.
And so, I know, I'm not allowed to touch them, but it's like an unbelievable server room roar of the fans that are going on, but you can't even hear it with this door closed.
No.
And the door closes with some kind of a gas shock that like makes it so that it doesn't make any slamming noise.
Oh, really?
Like the last, like the
so
last
I can't
door
slam
we had,
the door when I walk out?
Can't slam the door anymore.
Oh, shit. All
right. But we are not joking about the green room. There really is a green room.
There really
room
is
here.
A green room.
And
there
it's
was
actually
no, there,
very nice.
There was also bagels and lox in there, but not for us.
I know. The security guard just quietly just ushered me out of the room when I tried to go in.
Excuse me, sir. Can you come with me?
You have to go this way, sir. This is a special entrance for you.
Prior to the show, we had a great conversation of Canadianisms.
Yes.
And I still haven't done the shout-outs because we got confused. So I'm gonna shout out everybody in the chat room.
Yeah, you definitely. Because they stuck around for so long to get it to work.
Yeah. Hey, V's here.
I know.
That's what's important.
Yes.
We haven't seen V in a long time.
Yay.
We need to meet up, coffee, drinks. Esposito's here. Neighbor Geek is here. Matt is here. Kowski, Pierre Roman, good to see you last week and the week before. Frederick Bork Bork, Foul Temper is here, as is H-Jit.
The infamous
I know,
Mark
no.
Moreau.
Yeah, that is exactly why things did not go well.
I know. We can't have him on the show or in the chat room.
Mark Moreau broke the internet. Super Tech Boy is here. Energized Tech. Soren's with us. Chuck Rocks Canada. Chuck Richards. Oh, there's too many Chucks. and Jabrin MSA. Jabrin, who I believe is from the UK. And we had a conversation because there's a lot of Canadians in the room.
Yes.
And we were talking about various things like doing the show from Canadian Tire. And we've done enough about Canadian Tire in the past.
I think we could.
Talking about what is this Seafoam?
So, you can buy it here too.
I don't know this Seafoam thing.
You've never worked on old cars before or something?
No, I have, but...
Seafoam is a magical white liquid that foams if you have a spray version of it.
Yeah.
But it also can just be a liquid you can add into your gas if you needed to. But it dissolves the buildup on carburetors and also removes the veneer or the shellac. I would call it shellac. I don't know what you guys call it. That can
shellac
be built up.
Shellac is for nails.
You can also use it on wood.
It's also on wood, but it's
they're putting wood.
No, gasoline can build up a shellac on the.
Should I stop getting shellac nails?
Yeah,
is that
you
what
should,
you're telling
it's
me?
It's really bad for your nails. Really bad for your nails. Gasoline, one of the byproducts of it just sitting around too long, can make it build up and turn it like a shellac. What's another word for shellac?
I think carbon byproduct.
But it's not carbon because it's not when it burns. It's literally it turns into like.
Yeah, it's just a
it's
sticky.
It's sticky shellac.
Yeah, it's a shellac. Shellac's fine.
There we go.
That'll work.
So anyway, Seafoam eats that away.
Oh, Esposito says gunk.
Gunk is the technical term. I didn't want to use that one to confuse everybody.
Oh, you didn't want to get gunk. Too technical on a technical podcast then?
Just making sure.
So God forbid we ever do that.
It's like there's three tools every Canadian has in their their garage to make sure their Ski-Doo works correctly. One of them is Seafoam.
Yeah.
Another one is a.
Double from Timmy's?
No, that's added in as required.
Oh, okay.
A Craftsman wrench set.
Yes.
That's small. You can travel with to make sure it's in the back of your Ski-Doo, and then also, you never know when you break down.
yes, I do. I work with you.
And then a
daily.
And then a tow rope to make sure you can tow somebody out of the snow.
Or yourself.
No, you can't tow yourself out of the snow.
No, I know, like, but if somebody comes along and they don't, in their Ski-Doo, and they don't have a tow rope.
If they're Canadian, they have a tow rope. it's sort of the American tourists that come up to drive the snow machines that don't carry the tow ropes.
Okay.
WD-40 is like the magical Windex blue liquid that can be used for anything.
WD-40
as well. But
okay.
I actually use Seafoam as WD-40. It leaves a beautiful aroma in the air and the edges in the house. It makes them quite flammable, too.
You should not be around anything flammable.
It works. It works.
So, you know, we actually do a show, and we have segments of the show.
But the rest of the Canadianisms, we were talking about this for
Christmas.
Oh,
yeah.
Chips.
Okay.
Chips.
All right. We'll go off on this tangent.
Of course. Why not?
Ketchup chips.
Ketchup chips.
What the?
They're amazing. Ketchup chips. You cannot buy them here in the States, although I did see in the center aisle of the QFC last night when I was buying dinner. I was making some pad thai, very good pad thai. They had tikka masala chips.
Yeah,
just
I
recently.
Saw those coming
those
out. Yeah, I saw
those. There's also some
out.
Kind of like burrito chips I saw or something like that. But anyway, you guys are missing out without ketchup chips. Every kid in Canada has grown up eating ketchup chips in some way, shape, or form. And it's a flavor that they put on top of the chips like a powder, but it's actually like ketchup. So you eat it like you're eating ketchup.
So why don't you just get a bag of potato chips and some ketchup and go to town?
Because then they go soggy. You have soggy chips. You don't want soggy chips.
I just threw up in my mouth.
It's good. It's really good. Ketchup chips. Dill pickle chips also, another very popular one you guys don't have here. Oh, actually, no, I lie. I just recently saw some.
So
they're migrating south. You know, like the Africanized honeybees coming up from the north, from the south?
That was an answer to a trivia question when we went to bar trivia this
That's
week.
That's why I brought it up. The Africanized honeybees
AKA
coming up north. It's like the ketchup chips coming south from Canada.
Okay.
Because all of our mosquitoes are stuck in Winnipeg. They can't get a transit visa to go across the border.
Actually, I hear they have the ketchup chips at the British Pantry.
See, I don't see how that's possible because it's not a British thing. It's a Canadian thing.
I know, but they may import it because they are not just a pantry of British.
What about the Kanakistanian importers company?
I think they may have some Kanakistanians in there.
The ICC, the Kanakistanian Importing Company.
Yeah.
CIC, sorry.
Okay. It's all good.
See, but CIC is Citizenship and Immigration Canada. That's a government agency in Canada that gives you pogey.
Okay.
Do you know what pogey is?
No.
All my Canadianisms are coming out.
Coming out.
Pogey, unemployment insurance.
Okay.
I got me stamps for me pogey.
Kowski says, how about gravy and fries? There's a name for that, and yeah. I know what that is.
Yeah, well, no, it's more than just gravy and fries.
Well, you have to have the cheese curds.
You have to have curds, the squeaky cheese.
Squeaky cheese.
Must be squeaky.
With
they have whole restaurants dedicated to poutine.
Okay. Is there a rule, like, in terms of there is a must-have gravy? Is it chicken-based? Is it beef-based? Is there, like, a hard, fast rule that if you're going to do it, like, kind of like beer. If you're going to do beer, you should at least have a good Pilsner. That's, like, the standard. Is there a standard for poutine?
I would call it a brown gravy. I really wouldn't give it a flavor.
Okay, so like brown sauce that you get in the bottles? Like the
you
British
can buy
brown
it in
sauce,
bottles.
Right?
Yeah. There's certain restaurants that actually sell the brown gravy. But it's a specific gravy. It's very hard to describe. I don't want to say it's just chicken. There's more to it.
That frightens me. All right, so anyway, this is a technical podcast, a technical show. We have several segments of the show.
We started late. We should actually get in the segments.
Yes, exactly. We start with From the Trenches, which is the things that we're doing in our day-to-day work. Those of you who joined us in the chat room can tell us about what you're doing in your day-to-day work, those technical things. You've got some announcements coming out today.
Yes, actually. There was a post that went live yesterday announcing the preview availability of our massively cool, and yes, Rick cannot touch these inside of Azure, N-series machines, otherwise known as the GPU-accelerated machines. You can actually go off and, where is it? I just had the website here because I had to test it.
While you find that, Matt.
It's gpu.azure.com if you want to go off and request access to them.
Okay.
Or try to. But I will warn you that these are some pretty honking big machines here. The GPU-based gpu.azure.com is a request form. They give you a drop-down box to take a look at them.
Yeah.
There is the, I like this one here, the NC24R.
Arr.
The pirate version.
The pirate version.
It has four GPUs inside of it, the K80 GPUs by NVIDIA, 224 gigabytes of RAM, 1.5 terabyte SSDs, and super high-speed RDMA NICs in them. They run Minecraft beautifully.
Yeah?
Yes.
Can I run Pitfall on it?
I am not whitelisted to be able to use any of these.
Okay. On purpose.
The idea is that you can go there, you can read about them. They have links to engineering simulations for like car crashes and stuff like that. They've got big compute things for number crunching and financial stuff. So there's a whole bunch of folks at Azure that are dedicated to these things. And they've got a couple of clusters set up right now with these guys. Sorry, that's the term we use in Azure for defining a unit inside of a data center or cluster.
Okay.
So, yeah, they've got a bunch of these.
Which is different than what we would traditionally IT call a cluster.
No, it's just a grouping of machines.
Yeah, but that's an IT definition,
if you will. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But they also have smaller ones. If you just want to just dip your toe in them, you could have an NC6, which is one GPU, 58 gigs of RAM, 380 gig SSDs inside of it. But very, very cool stuff. And I hear a rumor that the producer of Tuesdays with Corey is going to be able to get the person in charge of these things on Tuesdays with Corey for the next interview.
Oh, yeah?
I hear a rumor about that.
There's a rumor.
I think it might happen.
Okay. Is this Stay part tuned. Of the conversation
it
that
is.
I overheard when...
Well, yeah. Tech there, I think.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay, cool. Very cool. We've got people doing some work in the chat rooms. Matt's doing some Office 365 work, as is Energized Tech. He's doing an Office 365 hybrid migration today.
Oh, yeah?
MKE077 is cleaning out legacy admin accounts and groups today.
Oh,
AD house cleaning.
Of that. You still have a nice PowerShell script that would dump the names of all the administrators.
Yeah.
For domain admins and local admins on servers. Don't forget the local admins on servers. You know how many developers I found that put themselves in as a local admin?
Oh, yeah.
To be able to do that. Another little sneaky trick they used to do was they'd somehow get their name as the local admin on a domain controller, and then they'd be local admin on all the domain controllers.
Jabron was saying he's doing lots of Azure App Proxy work recently.
Ooh, that's cool.
Nice. Azure AD App Proxy, yeah. Right? Basically make those SharePoint sites and other things available outside.
Foul Temper is asking me a question here. What is the per hour cost on those GPU systems? Well, actually,
$380
because it's in preview mode. No, actually, I don't know how much they're charging. They don't give me access to these things, unfortunately. But I will say that they're by the minute, not by the hour.
I just about did a spit take. I'm sorry, by the minute?
That's just like every Azure VM. Single Azure VM is built by the minute.
Yeah. I was just thinking.
It's $1,000 per minute.
Yeah, exactly.
No, these things are actually really, really cool. They're obviously only available in a couple locations for a deployment at this point in time. I do not know which data centers they're in right now, again, because I'm not whitelisted to them. But they are available. Corey Sanders had a nice blog post up about it just recently, talking about the announce what's in there. Very, very cool stuff.
MKE077 says he's dropping in a solution to clean up, maintain local admins, and rotate the local user account passwords. And Veronica says she's not doing any work, which is the way it should be.
Absolutely.
I know she's on a break. But she says her husband's rolling out outdoor Wi-Fi in all Bellevue parks. You're welcome, Pokemon. So nice. You know, Bellevue Park, which is the park right across from Bell Square Mall, is like the
what's
ultimate...
Bell Square Mall? What? Where?
The Bellevue Square Mall, right?
Yeah.
There's a park across the street from it.
You're talking about the one in downtown Bellevue?
Yes.
The shopping mall?
Yes.
Oh, where they do the skating in the wintertime.
Yes.
Okay.
So that is like the ultimate Pokemon park.
Why
there
is that?
There's like 1,900 Pokestops.
Seriously?
You could just walk around in circles and like hit like 30 of them.
Wow.
And there's all sorts of crazy Pokemon sightings.
And
there.
The city of Bellevue have determined that the Wi-Fi requirements do not support Pokemon Go in that location enough, so they're bumping up the signals.
I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it's awesome.
Nice.
Mark Morrow says App Proxy is a secret awesome thing, but it's not secret.
Shh.
Don't tell anybody. But if you want to know more, just reach out to Mark Morrow on Twitter. He'll tell you all about it. I haven't been doing anything. No, I'm just kidding. I wrote end user documentation.
Wow.
I never thought as a Microsoft person I'd be writing end user documentation. Because it's
never thought
traditionally
you'd be writing documentation.
In IT.
I've seen your writing.
Stop.
I used to ghostwrite your blog posts. Come on.
My device is automatically going to restart in 15 minutes.
Oh, no.
That's awesome.
You're getting the Redstone update right now. Is that updated to Redstone yet?
I have no idea.
You might have to hum the closing song today.
Yeah, exactly. I think we'll be fine. There's 30 minutes. I got plenty of time to restart it.
Yeah, whatever.
So end user documentation. So it's kind of interesting. We spend a lot of our time getting IT pros up to speed and ready to go.
Yeah.
But when you start implementing technology like multi-factor authentication, where end users have to enroll a device in order for IT to really be successful.
Yep.
IT likes to have the guidance to give to the end users, and it's something I never really thought about. I'm like, we never told them how to do a lot of the things that we went out and rolled out and deployed. So I actually wrote up some documentation, and it will be available very, very shortly. There's actually a blog post, I'll link to it in the chat room, on how you can actually – it's a set of documentation that you can actually copy and paste to all of your users so that your users can successfully enroll their device. Which is basically going to a web page and typing in your phone number, but apparently users need a documentation for that.
So you're going to have yourself immortalized on a shiny 8.5x11 laminated piece of paper that will be delivered to thousands upon thousands of users' desks. That's awesome.
But my name won't be anywhere on it.
What you have to do is you have to hide it cryptically, like the Rosetta Stone or something like that. Not the Rosetta Stone. What is it?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What is it? The David Baldacci? What's the guy's name that did the Dr. Lasseter?
You've lost me. Sorry, buddy. You've lost me.
Tom Hanks plays him in a movie. What's the movie? David.
I don't know what you were talking about.
You have to hide cryptic clues inside of the
document. Oh, like you're talking about.
Gosh. What is that?
With the
Angels
Illuminati.
Angels versus Demons.
Yeah, the Illuminati
thing. Angels versus Demons.
Now I'm with
you.
Da Vinci Code.
Thank
you, Mark Morrow.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. Wait a second. We lost our producer.
It's all right. But have you seen, like, I keep getting a glimpse of the artistic video angles that we get.
I can't
now,
see
apparently,
them.
Like, I'm
oh,
trying
we're
to find.
Oh, shot right now.
Yeah, but
where's
see, that,
camera?
That's exactly right. Where'd I think what go? She's done is she's figured out how to get both the individual cameras in a single frame.
Because I'm about to say, this is not the wide angle.
No.
That's weird.
It's really cool, though.
We have to hire her full time.
I know, right?
Like
she's amazing.
Don't let Jay Shock know.
He doesn't listen to the show, so it's
okay.
Okay,
okay, it's fine.
Jabram is talking about SSPR. Mark Morrow's talking about MFA, and MKE's 077 is like, oh god, more acronyms. So let's start first and foremost. Azure Active Directory, first feature to roll out, self-service password reset, aka SSPR. Super easy.
Everyone should do it.
It's a super easy win.
If you paid for it, it's a low
exactly.
Low
if you're
value,
paying for AD premium,
high value, low technical
low
implementation issue.
Yeah, and it's low risk. I mean, the reality nice. Is, our users should change their passwords. Okay,
nice.
That's a good thing.
Without having to call us.
Yeah, and actually, we've been doing some kind of research, and I don't know that this is official, but it's probably right around. It's between $60 and $70 per user to reset to call the help desk.
Wow.
And if you've worked on that side of the fence, you know how often they call us. And then, of course, MFA being multi-factor authentication, which means that when I'm logging in, we have this new stuff, which is called conditional access, which says if I'm logging into a mobile device outside of the corporate network, ask me for another factor of authentication.
Yes.
So my phone rings and I can press the pound sign, or I use the really cool app that we have, the Azure Authenticator app, which now I can use my thumbprint because I updated to the new one.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was on the old one because I've been running it for like 19 years.
Press the button. That's all mine.
Yeah. IT Prayers joined us, and he says, wow, the camera angles are sweet. And Pierre Roman says Gulnaz is making Jared look bad.
Yeah, the problem is, though, is that I can't sit here and, like, take a drink and no one notices, because now...
I know, because she's out of the room. I don't know where she's gone. She probably can't take it anymore. Don't
Zico.
No product placement. We're not getting
Zico?
Any. We're not getting endorsements.
Zedco? Zedico.
Oh, Mark Morrow says Gartner officially says it's $70 per user.
Oh, so it's gone up by a dollar since last time.
$1.380. Canadian.
Woo.
So that's what I've been doing, and you've been doing the.
I've been doing
expanded
scope. Expanded scope on the documentation project now.
Yeah.
It used to be I was just a Linux guy looking at the documentation. They've now upgraded me. I guess that's one way to look at it. To looking after the Windows and Linux compute documentation. On Azure's in the near future, in like now.
Windows?
Yeah, Windows as well.
They let you around Windows now.
They let me around Windows.
Oh, wow.
So that'll be kind of fun to be able to work that out. I've got my first Linux self-study group is meeting after this live broadcast.
Yeah.
That I have to go to.
Unfortunately, I won't be joining that meeting.
Come on, man.
Blue Angels are in town, baby. It's Seafair.
What is Seafair?
It's a celebration of...
It's like sea foam?
No. Could be flammable, though.
It could be flammable.
It's a big celebration that goes on. It's actually through the majority of the summer in Seattle, we celebrate Seafair. And, you know, through the 4th of July with the fireworks show.
What's the history of
but
it?
But this week, it's kind of a celebration of the military and the things that we have here, the Navy, the Coast Guard. So off the coast, near the Puget Sound on the other side of Seattle... They've got a whole bunch of ships in. There's a couple of
big... The sailors are in town.
Yep, the sailors are in town.
Are there pirates?
There are Seafair pirates, yes.
There's Seafair pirates?
There absolutely is. There's a big parade that was last weekend, which we ran into when we were headed back downtown to drop off
beer.
Somebody. And then this is my favorite weekend because this is the when they do the Boeing Air Show and the hydro races. So the hydro boats, the big jet powered, basically sit on an inch and a half of water and go like 100 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. So they do that out on Lake Washington.
That's the big, okay.
That's the big one.
Not Sammamish.
With the two bridges.
Lake Sammamish.
That's correct.
Lake Sammamish. They just get up to full throttle and have to brake it.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's only 7 miles across. they also, the Boeing Air Show has the U.S. Navy Blue Angels.
Oh,
And it's done. The show is done over the water. So you sit on the beach and
you
watch
them cruise
over. I met a Blue Angel. Yeah?
Yeah. Actually, Pierre, I think, was with me downtown. It was a couple years ago.
Okay.
We were downtown for a Tech Ready event, and he was having a coffee.
Nice.
And Pierre bought him a coffee.
Yeah. So it's kind of awesome. They do their show over the water. In fact, yesterday I was sitting.
That's why they closed down the bridge.
That's exactly right. They closed down I-90. Yes.
They opened up for pedestrians to watch?
Yeah.
Can you walk on the bridge?
Yep, you can walk on the bridge and watch the Blue Angel show from there. Yeah.
Are you going to be on the bridge today?
No, I'm going to be on the beach.
On the beach.
Yeah, at Genesee Park, because I also want to watch the hydro races. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
They go so fast. Like,
well, no, they go. They go in a circle, so you can actually watch them.
Okay.
The course is, it's like, go fast, turn left.
Okay.
Right?
Do they turn left or is it right?
No, they turn left. I actually think they make a right turn somewhere, but I'm not sure.
Just to mess them up.
I don't know. Yesterday, I have to tell you this story. Yesterday, I got off the freeway on 50th because I never take the 40th exit. I get off on 51st and then drive down.
Yeah.
And I just had gone over the over ramp to the, of the freeway, and I'm sitting at a light. It's, you know, early. I hadn't had my first cup of coffee. I'm just kind of zoned out. Got the windows down, sunroof open, and all of a sudden I just hear this. And I look up and I see the Blue Angels fly in a formation called the Diamond. It's four of them.
Yeah.
Basically all tucked up underneath each other. And they literally close enough, I can see the pilot in the cockpit. And I'm like, wait, yeah, exactly. And I'm pretty sure that I had to change my pants after that one.
Yes.
That was because you don't hear them coming. It's not like you can just hear. They just, they were go quick.
Nice.
Right over the top of me. Yeah. But then after the, you know, so after my heart stopped for a second and then restarted, of course, put my hand out the window, full on thumbs up. But yeah, that was awesome.
Are the Blue Angels?
Yes.
Are they Navy based?
Yes.
Or are they
Navy and Marines?
So they're not Air Force based.
That's the Thunderbirds.
Thunderbirds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So U.S. Navy Blue Angels, the Air Force.
I've only ever heard of the Blue Angels from air shows in the States perspective.
Yeah. So
in Canada, it's all snowbirds.
Yeah, I've actually seen the snowbirds.
Yeah.
I'm an Air Force brat, so I saw the Thunderbirds all the time, which is why I'm also obsessed with the Blue Angels, because the Air Force Thunderbirds used to fly over our house. We could sit on our roof at my dad's house and watch them because we were so close to the Air Force base.
Nice.
And then the Blue Angels I never got to see until I moved here. And they both are amazing, and it's kind of the ultimate, you know, if you want to talk about being a team.
Yeah.
You know, and that precision flight. Well, I mean, they are literally tucked right up underneath each other within less than a couple of feet separate those planes when they're flying at hundreds of miles an hour.
And I hear it's not autopilot.
No, it's not. I don't.
It's human control.
Anyway.
Human control.
The chat room's gone.
We lost them.
We've lost them.
Tangented in them.
Yeah. Pierre, no, I'm not even going to even comment on what you're saying. Hey, how's our Slack channel?
Slack. Okay, let me switch over to Slack.
It's us and Super Tech Boy.
Super Tech Boy in a private chat channel just with us. He hasn't said anything since 8:52.
Okay.
So it's a quiet channel.
Mark Morrow is helping MKE077 with some deployment of some Azure ADs, including he just posted an article to securing privileged access. So look at that. The show is helpful to our listening audience. You actually get support in our chat room. Esposito says, sorry he has to leave early today. Jets and Oilers are announcing their jerseys for the NHL Classic. So Portage and Maine are closing down. I guess he's in Winnipeg. Is that the main drag there? Is that the main street?
Yeah, Maine.
So is that the only street that anybody can get down to get anywhere?
It's the main street.
I don't know. I've never been to Winnipeg. Am I missing anything?
You're missing the heat and the mosquitoes right now.
Do mosquitoes carry away small children in Winnipeg?
They easily can carry them away. I've heard stories of them actually carrying away house pets. That large.
Yeah?
They are very large.
Do they pull up to the drive-thru at Timmy's and ask for a 50-pack of Timbits? Or?
That could work, too. That could work. Someone understands mosquito here.
Don't they have to hire somebody who speaks mosquito in Winnipeg?
He's being translate.
Translate. Oh. All right, next segment of the show, considering we only have 20 minutes left. Let's talk about beer money, the support that we do for our friends, our friends, families, dogs, aunts, cousin.
I'm at the point. I think I'm at the point. Bear with me. Any people in the room that bear with me.
We've been doing the show for 40 minutes.
I know.
I'm with you.
My children have reached an age where they are starting to request their own computing devices. Outside from a phone, which is more expensive than computing devices than I have at the house. They're looking for computing devices these days. And so I'm torn about what to get. Honestly, I'm absolutely torn. Because I'm like being practical and useful for them, so get them like a tablet/Surface type device.
Yeah.
But that's super expensive for three kids.
Yeah.
Or do I go with a gaming PC and buy a separate monitor? Or do I go with one of the Nook Skull devices, which have a GPU built inside of them because they're small form factor?
Small form factor, but... Big price tag because you posted about that.
It's $600 for a bare bones.
Yeah,
gives you the proc.
Then you have to add.
You have to add
memory
and
a hard drive.
It's got
so you're
else.
Still well over 800 at that point.
Correct. Do you buy refurb decommissioned laptops? Like the Dellosaurus 6500 that comes with a 1 gig video card. It's 5 year old. You can buy those on eBay now for like $200, $300.
So I guess the first thing is making a determination as to. Is a GPU necessary, and if so, what level of GPU?
Is a GPU necessary? You know what these kids do with these things.
They play Minecraft. You don't need a freaking GPU with Minecraft.
They Sims as well is a new one for them.
Oh, are they?
Sims 4.
Okay.
You know, a bunch of different type of Steam-based games that are coming down as well. So it has to be more useful than just being able to do the internets.
Pierre says he's got two Surface Pro 3s he could sell you.
Oh, nice.
So for me, I look, okay, do we need a GPU? Okay, we need a GPU. So then do all devices need that GPU? Or is the Intel-based graphics enough to run some of these things? Because I'm a big fan of the i3-ish, i5 lower entry kid devices. That's just me because
I do
have one device in the house that can play the high-end stuff if necessary.
I know, but I see them growing out of it so fast. So, again, the PC tooler
yeah,
inside
Yeah, but by
of
the time they grow out of it, they should be old enough to buy their own.
That assumes they have jobs.
apparently you've got a low entry bar to staying in the house, yeah?
I don't know.
If they want something more powerful, they've got to buy it on their own.
Or is it laptop mobile? Does it have to be mobile to be able to move around? Because I don't want them locked inside of one area.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's true.
So, sometimes if I set them up in the compute area in the back room, then
I've
I have
just lost. I've just lost the chat room. I think I'll log in via my phone.
So you have to be able to move them back and forth between different rooms, potentially.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of having devices like that inside their bedrooms because I'll never see them again for things. So, I don't know. This is my dilemma right now. Big dilemma.
Before my machine just restarted on me, Prayer said, is a GPU necessary? And he kind of scoffed at that. And the reason I say that is that my kids aren't necessarily into the games that are GPU heavy. So I got them lower level entry, $200+, $300-ish laptops, which they're perfectly happy with. They're i3s. They've got the built-in Intel GPU, and they can play their Minecraft on it. But that's pretty much all they do. That requires any type of graphics because the machines are primarily actually homework-based devices is what they are.
Yeah, they get their own school devices for that.
They will. But they don't use them. Like, there's not a lot of hardcore gaming going on outside of what happens on the console, on the Xbox One. So that's how – but you've also got teenage boy who will probably be playing the various Steam-based devices, so that's going to play into it. So I'm thinking – investing in one decent desktop setup, right? And even with that, I understand even the i5s are perfectly effective to play video games on. You don't necessarily have to jump to an i7, right? So you can go with a good model i5, obviously some good RAM, and a good GPU, and you don't have to have the latest and greatest, $300 GPU that's out today.
I could, though.
Sure, but here's the thing. I always buy at least one sometimes two generations behind, and I save a ton of money. And I'm what I lose 10 with frames per second, but I'm not playing
which
shooters
would you
that
be
matter.
Buying then?
I mean, I'd like have to look at the. Like that? I'd have to look at what the current. I think the when I bought mine last year, it was the R9, I think is what it was, or
R9.
I didn't go with NVIDIA. I think I went with the ATI on this.
Mm.
I'm
an NVIDIA snob. I like my NVIDIAs.
Yeah, I
my
think it was
at work.
I got the same performance as the same money as the NVIDIA because the, you know they flip flop every year. One's gonna be better.
My
I got
a 580 in it right now.
I got a GTX. No, it isn't an NVIDIA. It's a GTX. I want to say 630.
Okay. Yeah, I've got the 580 in my desktop. They're 980s that are right now.
Yeah, I paid I don't know around $100. And look, as I said, I'm not playing hardcore first person shooters.
Right.
So it's overkill for what I'm using my box for. Oh, look, Nas has come back.
Yeah, nice of you to join us again.
What are you talking about? I've been here the whole time.
I took a shot with my camera just to prove that you weren't there. Just so you know, and that's going to your boss.
In the chat room.
Level of support we get in this
room.
Wait,
I came because we were talking about graphics cards.
Yeah.
Yes.
Happening. What do you guys got?
Well, what's your plan for your graphics cards? Do you have?
I had a work one. It was a GTX Titan.
Yeah.
X. It was like so ridiculous. And then Larry took it from me. Because he wants to do like VR on one of the PCs. So he jacked
So he took card. He jacked your cool graphics card? Because you need a high-end graphics card doing video production, right?
Jeez, yeah.
It's the CUDA encoding.
CUDA.
I love
Barracuda.
CUDA encoding.
Adobe's always like get CUDA.
Yeah.
So
that actually helps your encoding by having it on the graphics card versus just chewing up all of the CPUs.
Holy Hannah, does it ever?
Yeah.
Holy Hannah.
I didn't know. I mean, because I when we do audio processing is all it's all CPU. Mm-hmm. It's not even RAM doesn't even help you much. It's all CPU.
Mm-hmm. You could get an audio processor. Special onboard processor for audio.
Yeah, I could, but like you know, I don't need it. I mean, I want one, but I don't need it, right? To do broadcasting and stuff.
Correct. So what did he replace it with? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, I downgraded back to a K4000.
Like a junky K4000.
I mean, it's not junky. It's like retailed at $800, but it's not a Titan X.
Do you guys have any spare video cards just kicking around you're not using? From your inventory, I could borrow.
I think we have older ones.
I've got like a 560 or a GX 560 or 580.
Oh, actually, that's not bad.
It works.
Yeah,
it works. It's all right.
Let's see. Now I'm back in the chat room. We've got Mark Morrow is doing just a ton of work.
He's doing. Work
I can't even keep track of it. Him and MKE077 are going to town, talking about the Azure ADs. Pierre Roman says Rainbow Six is not a first-person shooter. Yeah, it is, but I played on the Xbox One.
Yeah.
Totally. We play Rainbow Six Siege. Isn't that how you say it in French? Siege.
Siege.
Siege. Yeah. Let's see. Who else is...
Did Larry join us?
I don't know. We've got to mind our P's and Q's if Larry's here.
Yeah,
I do see that Fairbred has joined us, so welcome to our very own Essex Girl.
They have a monitor in the main room of the Channel 9 Studios.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to bet that they probably turn on this show on that main monitor with speakers for everyone to hear.
Just, I think it's to keep track of what we're actually doing in here.
Because no one drops any F-bombs.
I would never do that.
Show.
Hey, let's talk about beer.
What? Have we done the...
hey, look, it's Daddy Lawbucks.
Oh, there he is.
So
what about beer?
So the last time we met a fortnight ago, you like that?
That's very good.
Yeah. We had an IPA that was just about to be ready.
Correct. And we served it.
We did serve it. In fact, there was a bit of a party where it was 22 and a half gallons of beer that were consumed, I believe.
Yes, 22 and a half gallons of beer. A good chunk of it was from the beer engine, which was quite fun.
Yeah, so I know for sure there was at least one keg killed. Was there a second one killed?
The second one was almost gone as well.
Yeah, and my IPA was almost gone.
Yes, it was very popular.
Which is good, so it's a good start.
Beer,
yeah, we had the golden ale. So that IPA, we've got a good start. I wasn't completely happy with it.
No, so we need to figure out what to tweak on it next.
I think I needed to dry hop longer.
My only issue with dry hops is that you have to consume the beer soon after the dry hops come out. because they're the first flavor and essence to disappear in the beer, which then leads to the other hops that were used during the regular boil process to come through.
Which I think I think in the tertiary boil, the tertiary
additions to the
the tertiary addition to the boil, we needed to up the hop level in the tertiary.
To me, that's the one that sticks around. You get your base level at the very beginning, but then the aromatic and the flavor hops you add in at the last couple of seconds and the last phases of the boil, those ones stick around longer than the dry hops do. So I would invest more there. Pierre's mind is in the gutter today.
I don't know what's going on. Energized Tech just said, don't.
I think he's on cold medication or something.
Maybe. Energized Tech says, Dote tripped over the client not being able to have multiple TXT records for hybrid. Time for a new DNS host. Who hosts only one TXT record? TXT record.
What do you mean? You don't know what they are?
No, I'm just thinking multiple TXT records.
I've had multiple TXT records.
Yeah?
Yeah. I have one for a website that I look after so that the website can send automated mails. And then I have another one for MailChimp, which is used for marketing emails, as well as O365. So I got three TXT records.
But what would prevent you from having multiples?
A crappy DNS control panel.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So the DNS provider.
DNS provider basically is not doing it.
Sorry, I'm like, because he's talking about hybrid, and I'm like, okay, so just change it on the DNS server, right?
Rewind back to beer money for just 1 second, just one moment.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Microsoft Clutter, but at times I don't love it.
Okay.
Because I was going through my Clutter folder on my personal clause.ca email, and I noticed the final warning the day before from my DNS provider that my DNS was expiring and hadn't been paid. Literally.
Oh, really?
It was going to expire, the DNS hosting only.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not the domain name, but DNS hosting. I was going to expire on August 3rd, and I found that out on August 2nd at midnight almost. And I'm like, oh, no. There's a technical outage for clause.ca.
That would not work.
All my brothers and sisters would have been emailing me from their Hotmail accounts. What's going wrong?
V says Clutter is way too aggressive sometimes, and I agree because
sometimes it takes work emails and puts them in there.
Yeah, because if you've got too many people on that two line, right? It's like,
for me, it's like, you know, I get lots of emails that my rules go through and process, but then I've also got some that don't have rules that simply come in, but then they just get shoved down there.
Right. How do I take something out of Clutter?
What?
How do I like?
You just
them?
Grab the mail from Clutter and you drag it back to your inbox, and it learns that that's an important email.
Let me do that now.
As opposed to deleting it from Clutter. So it's learned behavior.
If you delete it from Clutter, does it think it's Clutter?
It
does
gets
it put
a
it in
ranking.
Junk mail next time?
it highlights it and raises the Clutter score. So
yeah, I don't. So Energized Tech says he disables Clutter. I don't. I actually like it. It just. You're right. You do need to go and check it a little more often, I think.
Basically, it's my 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon looking for something to do before leaving task is to go through my Clutter folder.
Wait, you have time that you're looking for something to do?
It's because I don't want to start another project before
I get home
or something like that. I've got some time to kill.
Wait, so you finished project
time in my calendar. I block off time to go through mail specifically to clear it stuff.
Yeah.
So
oh, my goodness, Channel Lines online.
What's the difference between clutter and junk? It's smarter.
You can flag stuff as junk. You can't flag stuff for clutter. Clutter is done through machine learning,
okay.
Whereas junk, it literally comes in through junk filters.
Like because we know, you know we process so much email.
Yeah.
Sorry, we process so much email.
We process so much email, we've got very strong filters.
Yes, exactly. We know when Uncle Carmine is trying to get us to send a couple
send
of thousand dollars.
Send money to Nigeria or something like that.
Yeah, so that we can get $6.8 million from a prince. So we're pretty good on that. Why are we talking? They're talking about IRC.
What?
They're talking about IRC in the chat room. We did think about creating the Patch and Switch chat room as IRC.
I still heard that there is secret developments on the Channel 9 dev team that there will actually be an embedded chat client eventually.
Yeah.
After getting this studio.
Yeah.
They have the power.
Really?
They have the power.
I'm surprised that there's
even
anything left.
Man.
I've seen the studio, and
Have you seen the alien camera that they have out there?
Yes.
It looks like a bug.
That's a camera?
It looks like a bug.
I thought it was an alien.
It looks like a bug. It's on its tripod, and it has lenses all over it and stuff like that. We should borrow it sometime. That's if they let us put it in the table.
Do patch and switch in VR? No.
You could sit in the room with your VR goggles on and just turn. And then, there's Joey over there. And there's Rick over there.
I want to know how Glumas did this thing. I'm looking at this.
I don't know.
Like two individual camera angles in one shot. Me.
I can't.
The TriCaster can do a lot of things. I only know the basics.
Hey, man. But you're better off. Though. I'm trying to take drinks whenever Joey talks. I can't do that.
There you go.
She switched it just for you. It doesn't help when you're making the sound effects.
Laptop's off.
All right. So I'm going to address a couple of things.
We have 3 minutes left.
We're going to go a couple minutes over because we were late.
We can't, man. I've got my study class after
this. Oh, okay. All right. Matt asked if we are doing a countdown show for Ignite. Currently, no. And that's just that at the time we just don't know anything. And
we're out of the loop.
We're out of the loop.
And you're available for hire.
Sure.
And we are really cheap. Very cheap.
You've seen this
show,
right?
Low quality standards, I will say. Low quality standards. If they would like to up the production value, we absolutely will be in there. Like a dirty shirt.
As for other things, MKEO77, what we'd really like is a discussion channel for Ignite. I thought they've got one, right? Those members of the crew, they're doing a pretty good job talking. I'm watching.
The
we
Facebook
hear
page.
You.
Oh, yeah.
We hear you.
Yeah, I take screenshots of it, actually.
Yes. We hear you. We're providing feedback. We hear you. How's that? Is that good?
We're listening.
Yes, we're listening. Are you going? I don't know if I am.
The audience is listening.
The audience is now deaf. One of my favorite Tiny Toons.
I do not have a hotel. I do not have a ticket. I do not have a session.
Me neither, but I'm still working at it.
Yep.
So stay tuned.
I have to be recertified to deliver public delivery.
You and me both.
Top five tech ed speakers in the past.
And we have to recertify
to be able to present in public.
That's correct. We're new guys on the team. The one thing, okay, I'm going to throw this out there. We've done 101, and we've done a bunch of pre-conference things. Do we need to do like a generic conference guide on Patch and Switch, like that's not event specific, because we're coming up on event season, because you've got Ignite, you've got a bunch of third party events, RSA, you've got a bunch of other things. Maybe, I don't know, is it valuable? Does the audience think it's valuable to just kind of do a generic how to do conferences, right? I mean, if not, I mean, it was just an idea, just a thought.
It works.
MKE077, Joey, AD Roundtable at a brew pub.
Is there a brew pub in Atlanta?
Let's just take the word brew out of it and just say pub.
The conference isn't at the downtown center. Atlanta. It's at the airport one.
No, there's not an airport convention center.
But there is.
Okay, it's not big enough to hold Ignite. It's at the main one, downtown.
By Olympic Park?
Yes.
I don't think it is.
It is.
No, it's accessible by train in like less than 2 minutes from the airport.
That's not less than 2 minutes. It's 10 minutes, but... Anyway.
I'm pretty sure. Well, again, this is why I'm not going, because I don't have details on where it is. But there was a cool bar that had the beer taps with a key on them.
Yes.
Each key term was 100 ounces.
Yes.
So.
It is at that main conference center. I can guarantee you that.
But the main conference center's out.
No, it's not. It's in the middle of downtown. It's right next to the big stadium. No, the airport is like 20 minutes away, dude.
But it says there's a train from the airport. It takes you 2 minutes to get there.
You need to do some more research. You need to do some more research.
I'm not in the loop.
Apparently.
Apparently, I'm going to a different conference.
Feltepper says what? Oh, crap.
A quilting conference.
You know what? We're out of time.
Is the band around?
I don't know if I think they're still eating their bagels and lox.
Okay.
That they had.
Wake them up.
Nas, can you send them a note? Do you have comms to that other room where the band is set up?
Yes, absolutely.
Can you tell them the show's over?
Yeah.
Oh, there
they
go. Nothing like a first episode in a brand new studio.
Woo-hoo!
Still smells like paint.
I know.
That might explain the show.
Or seafoam.
Exactly.
We need three words, quick. In the chat room.
In the chat room, give us three words. That does it for another episode of the Patch and Switch Show. Big thanks to everybody who joined us in the chat room, including Frederick, Bork, 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 Neighbor Geek. Oh, goodness gracious. IT Prayer, Energized Tech, Super Tech Boy, TE Cable Guy, Matt Kowski, Pierre Roman, Foul Temper, HJet, Mark Morrow, Veronica, MKE077, Chuck Rocks Canada, CH9, everybody else who joined us. I know I'm missing somebody. Oh, our Essex girl. We'll see you in a fortnight's time. Until then, have a weekend, everybody.
Sifu, Seafoam, Redstone, GPU.
Done.
Done.
Take a note.